Several of Kenneth Lay's former colleagues at Enron took the Fifth Amendment last week when they appeared before other congressional committees. While they're legally entitled to do so, the number of Enron executives who have chosen not to testify poses a challenge to investigators. Representative James Greenwood is a Republican from Pennsylvania. His House subcommittee was the site of much of last week's testimony, or lack of it. Morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
How much of a setback to the investigation is it to have Ken Lay take the Fifth Amendment?
Well, we would have hoped that he would have done the right thing, and that is come forward and help the Congress to understand exactly how this debacle occurred. What's important to us is not prosecution. That's really up to the Justice Department. What's important to us is to understand the extent to which some of these activities that led to this collapse were, in fact, legal, so that we can undo that, so that we can pass reforms to make these accounting devices, the so-called aggressive accounting, illegal.
One Enron former executive who did testify before you was Jeffrey Skilling, and he seemed to have a lot of trouble recalling much. What, if anything, did you learn from Skilling's testimony?
Well, we had hoped that he was going to be more forthcoming, and he was not. What is evident, though, is that the present CEO of Enron, Mr. McMahon, came to Skilling in March of 2000, quite some time ago, and we have detailed notes from that meeting, and made it crystal clear that the situation was untenable, that the situation was unethical, and that it was threatening the company. And Mr. Skilling, while initially denying much knowledge of that meeting, eventually acknowledged that meeting occurred and that he was going to do something about it, or he indicated he would do something about it, and he never did.
Is there evidence of criminal wrongdoing based on what you've seen and heard so far?
Well, I think there is. In response to the stock market crash of the 20s, the Congress passed the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. And that makes it illegal for anyone to employ any device or scheme or artifice to defraud in their financial statement. Now, accountants have tried to make that really bright line, a fuzzy line, and I think ultimately what has to happen here is we have to see that the leadership of Enron is prosecuted for defrauding its investors and defrauding its own employees.
What about the Arthur Andersen accounting firm?
Well, I think I believe that they are equally complicit in this. They know what the Securities Exchange Act says. They know that the heart and essence and soul of that act is that you don't defraud your potential investors. And that's what they helped Enron to do. And had investors and employees understood the true facts behind the financial arrangements in that company, they would have sold their stock. And, of course, that was not what the big dogs at Enron wanted to see happen, because it would have devalued their own holdings.
And Enron's legal counsel?
Potentially complicit. I'm not an attorney. We'll leave that when it gets a little bit more murky. But, again, they know what the law is. That's what they're paid to do. And the law, while it has been stretched to the limits by accounting standards, if you're an honest person and you look at the intent of that law, it's pretty clear, really designed to prevent fraud, and it's fraud that is at the soul, at the center of this collapse.
And you turn all this over to the Justice Department?
Well, the Justice Department is doing its own investigation, as is the Securities and Exchange Commission. We're working very closely with them. The one thing that I have assiduously refused to do is to grant immunity to any of our potential witnesses, because I think they need to give their information to the prosecutors at Justice.
Congressman, thank you very much.
You bet.
Congressman James Greenwood of Pennsylvania.